So we have not got a lot of time, I'm afraid, and a lot of humans on our human list. So I'm going to quickly go through it, try and get through every can get a go. Try not to have long rambling stories, just do a piece and look back. So first up, can we have Richard?
I'm the tallest person in this building, so probably Cork City. This is a poem I wrote a couple weeks ago. Holistic thoughts transpire into selfish retention, but all said with pride masquerades as conviction. Etching perfect moments into a shallow mind, perhaps all that lies ahead could be wise to leave a lot behind. For like all things, times are due to sense of worth, for only sensational breaths remain truly on earth. How strange it would be to be contained by memory, while we age heavy, fragments remain perfectly centered.
Thank you very much. I'm going to quickly read a poem from Constantine, who has asked me a couple of times to read for him, as he's using poetry to practice his English, which I think is really cool. So this is by Constantine, down there at the back, and this is called Altered Ego. Death walks barefoot in the street, around the corners. The old women are talking about me like they would about a smoked ghost. Time by time, I show up in their sleep. Sometimes in their dreams I get drunk, so they won't recognize me. They throw stones at me. Leave me be. I am not myself. Thank you. Alright, next up we have Annie Block.
I don't know how to save us. Your words are painting off my screen. No more us ever reappearing black lines on white minds, eloquent and on the name, but hitting no spot in my brain to stir a feeling, but only dead memories like an aspirin in water hissing and saying nothing. But look how comfort feels in heart-wrecking times. Sweet, so sweet. But you abandoned sugar a long while ago, and I don't suffer anymore. Though I want to be your friend when life feels light. Be everything I am without you, but with you too. If happiness is content, sadness the form. We've been empty for too long. I don't know how to save us. I don't know if you want to be saved, or if you just want my eyes on you, a safe distance of computer screens, following every step of yours, parading in your self-built cage.
Next up we have Brian Crotty.
This is a poem celebrating birth. It's called, it's in two very short parts. It's called Life One and Life Two. But of course, before the birth, there's the struggle, the labor, and then the celebration. Life One. Battered and bruised, a long, hard fight. Hour on hour, morning to night. Spilled blood and guts, all to black and blue, screaming and kicking, to welcome to you. Life Two. Mother and baby suckling, hearts beat, sleepy, exhausted, two people complete. Gone from your womb, cut umbilical cord, a miracle girl, sleep the newborn. Madonna and child, enveloped with love. Dad's pride and joy, take it on one.
Thank you very much. Next up we have John Treacy.
Thank you. patch yourself so everybody doesn't run out in the middle of this. Kind of poem that can only come from passion of wondering what could have been. This is called Light Warning. I saw your light as a warning, beckoning from afar, a moth drawn to a flame, flickering in the still of dark. To see you shine so brightly, to feel the warmth, I need to be nearer. I know I could lose my life if I'm not careful, but I've never cared so little for fear. And I don't know what I could give you, if I have anything I could in return, though I want to give you everything, and I don't mind. In fact, I want to be burned. I'm aware that you're more wary. I may manage to smother or quench you, despite my purest wish and intention, I know that I know not what I do. But alone in time we have nothing, so together we have nothing to lose. And if perchance our encounter brief, so what, we waste not what we choose. Rather be fools than paupers, lost in passion without control. All we would have to gain is worth all the pain of gold. You warn I will not escape your incendiary embrace. I have not been able to escape since I have seen your face. We shall go out in a flash together, a moment perhaps, but for us, enough of forever. But alas, you have long since left me, only singed. The scent of our smoke lingers on. I have persisted to exist, only yet to wonder, searching the night endlessly to see would you again accept me, and to see how far we could have gone. Next up we have Joe Scalan.
Very good. I was thinking of, what happens if a butterfly wants to become a caterpillar again? It's like the whole point is that, when we're young, we always dream of flying, but when we get older, we wish we're young again. And I also drew in a quote from Sylvia Plath into this. It's very short, but it's from Puppies of July. Anyway, it's called Caterpillar Dreams of Flying. Butterfly is given up. Folds her butter tissue flags up around her spine. Issues thoughts of Pat's puppies. Your flicker I cannot touch. Butter is thicker than water. Thoughts are like butter, craving molten limpid form. A tan smell that's attractive but torturous. And there's limits to wary buttercups, folded like back tobacco wrap. Pretend to be a papa, wanting to be a caterpillar. Rat crawling and perfect. Thank you.
Thank you both. Next up, we have Charles Clark.
Second of four poems about Marion Square, Dublin. And the first line is quoted from the previous poem, refers to the late great Archbishop John Charles McQuaid. A man of princely courtesy passes in a limousine with darkened windows on his way to his seaside villa, where he takes pots of crows in the garden. No, you might say, seagulls too. He passes the wild residence at number one with his upstairs conservatory, the journal suite, where once his lady wife and poetess, his sons and daughters also lived and entertained. Sir William's illegitimate son inherited. At the far end is the House of Birth, the National Maternity Hospital, and in between a white tree in the basement of a lovely house catches the eye. My aunt also had a vista from a nurse's room, a half mile of Georgian houses and the Dublin mountains. She gave tea and a boiled egg to Dominicans, and is not forgotten as life in Serbia for the Christmas party.
Thank you, Charles. Next up, can we have Seamus Harrington?
Moments. Broken white lines pass under the fender, each split second, a winking cat eye, no time to ponder, past here and now. Lexus. A lurking hunch escapes the bunch, the furtive punch as terms crunch. Sculpt novel lines, rejig verse spines, observe the signs, beware sound minds. In catching clothes and haughty pose, one always knows mismatching prose. Small stanza blocks, fresh from the stocks, in ginger locks the thoughtful fox. The sound of chime reduced to mime, and work of rhyme defies all time. A gentle pace may cause a brace to find a place in time and space. To every nerd, it's not absurd to cull a word from idle herd. This lexic game of sire and dame, by any name, is still the same.
Lovely stuff, James. Thank you very much. Next up, Mary O'Connor.
Well, there's been mention of Palm Sunday, and I wouldn't be holding out too many kudos for John Charles McQuaid, but this is a very serious poem. It's called Passover, and it fuses the Hebrew and the Christian ethos. Passover. The smell of roasted lamb. Spiky cypresses, cool at evening, cast shadows in the slanting sun. High in the upper room, the master fills some water jars. It would have been enough to lay out towels and oil for these 12 hefty Galileans, but he bends and pours. This is the night that rends the seam of time, sets the spinning world back on its track. This is the hour when cedar light grows bright, to push the powers of darkness firmly back. The Elijah cup waits in the growing dusk to pour out wine that drops down thick as blood. Now, toweled and expectant, the chosen 12 carry unleavened loaves and bitter herbs, reminders of the first Passover meal, when Pharaoh held their ancestors in chains. But now, the fearsome seal of ordination, more binding than the mortar of the slaves, stamps each one with new unearthly power. Taking his broken body in their hands to heal and bring to wholeness on the earth those who are broken, desolate, and lost. Continuing from Melchizedek of old, they move along his path and do his will. Bearing a secret cross, they will retrace the way to Golgotha, unsafe and steep, a way of brigands, miscreants, and thieves.
Thank you. All the Next up, Jenny D.
Good evening. This is my love letter to Cork. It's called Cork by Dawn. Wake before our city, watch her turn, nestle against her hills, grumble into the sunrise. Blink and scrub grit from her eyes, glass from her gutters, breathe out morning brine, and watch that tide roll up the harbor, up the black lee spun gold in new light. Fish to the market, first to the market, and listen for the gull's first heckle. Hear the bells sing out of time with all four faces. Spires cut sharp against a sky with no pigment. The last stag party staggers from an unlocked door and the buses exhale, tired. They move from their station out through her asphalt veins, one way, two lanes, three fools for coffee. Rise and shine, my darling. Oh.
Of course, we need a clap for that one anyway. Lovely, lovely stuff, Jenny. Thank you. Next up, Una Ni Cavalier.
I'm from
Kelly.
Needlework. You scoured Hickey's bargain basement for the fabric find of your life. A remnant of Japanese shot silk, winged patterns of jade, lapis lazuli, vermilion blossoms cool against skin. I admired the cushions you made, envied you your skill. A lift in mood, euphoric in hindsight. The night before we ate Turkish delight, drank tea from tulip glasses I'd brought from Istanbul. How come I didn't notice, catch the subtext in the pause? The part you played and I was convinced, the detailed plan already made. I searched for traces of a scene I couldn't bear to imagine, trying to unpick what I had missed. I find cushions neatly placed on your bed. Bias binding ribbons loosely tied. Kenzo floral lost in Dettol's heavy smell. Specks of blood like pinpricks on the rug. All traces of pills, booze, Gillette blades cleared away. I sit out the crucial days waiting for the hospital to ring. Wander in rooms, searching for remnants. When I visit, you show me wrists stitched with black silk thread.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Ed Cashman.
There's a great documentary called Nostalgia for the Light, and on one level it's about a bunch of astronomers in Chile because they're the clearest skies on Earth, and it details about the wonder of the universe, etc., etc., which should be nice. On another level, it deals in the social history of Pinochet's brutal regime, and one of the most moving and touching elements of the documentary details the women wandering the desert of the Atacama, elderly women searching for the remains of their sons and family members in the desert. So it's a marvelous documentary. It came out about 4 or 5 years ago, so it's well worth watching. It's called, this poem's called Flowers of Atacama. Flowers of Atacama, after Nostalgia for the Light, a film by Patricio Guzman. Chilean skies are the clearest on earth. Perhaps they will find their dark matter. Here I seek beyond the naming, the scientific or lyrical telling.
The skeleton of my boy is present in these salt sands, between rock carvings and the domes of astronomers. I sieve the grains for chips of bone. It is my 26th year of searching, and the tears of my kind have flowered the desert. It is our home, Pata de Guanaco, Gara de Leon, sometimes bloom on these barren stretches. My neighbor found the foot of her boy still in its shoe, half preserved. She stayed with it all night, like a prayer. I wish the astronomers could point a telescope into the earth, find the light that was taken from me. It is hard. The more sorrow, the less tongue it has. But I will speak into the lens for Patricio, for he too had hours and years stolen. I must speak as I must search. They tell us the calcium in our bones can be found on a distant star whose light travels from many years ago. But the past is my flesh and blood, the spine of my days. Without it, who can stand? The first stars blaze above the dunes. I am 70 now. I wish they could point a telescope into the earth, find the light that was taken from me. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. That was very moving. Next up, Sue Bloom.
Will I do the one that was an adage I got somewhere, an adage to a submission, or will I do one responding to a piece of art?
Art.
Art. Adage.
Art. Art. But it has it like that. Art.
Art.
Okay. This, well, we've got the two. Okay, I can do the two.
One.
All right, fine.
Go for broke.
As long as it's the adage.
I'll do the adage because it's a new one.
Oh, boy.
Right, an adage that actually made it into the long list of the Fish Poetry Prize, which is the closest I ever got to a prize so far. Sandcastles. A sandcastle is but a moment in time, a structure of grains, its existence fulfilled until the next tide rises to fill the moat, fulfilling its intention for an instant. Until the next wave rolls to flood the bridges, drowning the fences back into sand. Until the next waters ebb to even the ground for a new construction built from the grain. A moment in time in the tides of eternal seas.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sure. My phone is dying, so I have no concept of time now. Paul, will you shout when we're about to be kicked out, or will I just keep going until someone drags us all out? I don't know, we'll just keep going, right, but there you go. Patricia Walsh, please.
Title, so bear with me. Some naked bullets fired, of course, sneaking into flesh, a hardcore necessity. Close callings, a rotten point of view. Rain despised liberation from our adventure. Stone upon stone, a vainglorious entity, shaking the foundation of past mistake. Windows in place of worlds shimmer, discriminating. Looking outwards in luxury granted. Timing traffic, the regularity of buses. Just been a posterity, a necessary mess. Keeping calm and carrying a hard word into a barbarous instinct with large. The infinite green sets its paces. Shadowed in submission, daisies permitting. The cigarette butts promised a challenge. Assiduous seating, now a welcome experience. Surreptitious friends at Dr. Grass. Exam weather permitting a long review. Incidents scaring from the workplace. Our dignity intact, distance sufficient. Action plans intact until the next time. Point of view, not a problem, overuse of words. Typographical assault is all we're good for. Consistency at Thorny Crown, a stool, an idea. Thank you.
Benjamin Burns, please.
And this is a poem. It's a description of a piece of art. I borrowed a book of Frida Kahlo's still lifes from the library, and there's a quote of hers, like, just after the title page, and it's, she said, "I paint flowers so they will not die." And then a couple of pages over leaf, there was a painting called Small Life in watercolor, and this is a description of the painting. At center, a dandelion stem tilts to its clock. Soft explosion of seeds yet to disperse. Eternal yellow-white firework. To the left, a red leaf. Blades of grass, scratch marks. To the right, a slighter dandelion. Clock also intact. Blades of grass and the shadows they cast. A yellow leaf, a woodlouse, a stone.
Thank you very much, Ben. Sue Cosgrave.
Short snippet from the middle of a short story set in the Soviet Union. Anybody remember the Soviet Union?
Yeah.
1970s. It's a young couple, a very ordinary couple, and this is their life. One evening, after enjoying Matvey's earthly love, the one starring the beautiful Olga Stroumova, they walk their way home, light-headed and as giddy as little children. Giggling uncontrollably, they threw snowballs at each other, then fell into the drifts to make snow angels beneath the star-studded winter sky. When they finally stumbled in their room, they stripped and fell into bed to make love with real passion, something they hadn't done for a long while. There was only one thing that Anyushka hankered for. A baby would have made her life complete. Nearly all her friends were mothers, some twice over. Motherhood was extolled all around her, albeit with lousy, grim-looking, bemedaled mothers pictured in daily Pravda with their excessive children, which nevertheless did nothing to dampen Anyushka's need. But two pregnancies in her early 20s were terminated by abortions, and one did hear of mistakes, leaving her wondering if, perhaps, she could accidentally render sterile. But what was the girl to do? It was the only means of contraception available. And so she dampened her fears and got on with life, leaving this need for a child humming quietly somewhere just beneath her strength. There were days, especially when the skies sat low above the horizon, when this longing permeated her abdomen and spread its dull ache up into her chest, forcing her to explain that the light was too harsh, where the grit had got into her eye. Not for one moment did she doubt Kolya's ability to father a child. He was a good man, and she was lucky to have him. True, he often retreated to his tool shed to brood alone for hours at a time, leaving his demons skulking like dark little boys at the edge of her vision. She never nagged him, not even when his astras filled their little room with their acrid smoke, stifling her and making her cough. He smokes too much, she would say to her best friend Lena, not in a complaining way of mine, but gently, as if by the act of saying it, she could ward off any harm that may come to him. And so their ordinary life ran along a well-defined line, for indeed all around them progress was linear. You stood in line for your bread, for your milk, and for your meat. You put your name down in line for an apartment, a proper one with its own bathroom and kitchen, and you entered your name for a Lada of any color you wished, as long as it was green, yellow, or red. If you waited long enough, the line would yield many good things. Everyone knew this. There were those, of course, who took shortcuts. It was best, however, to avert your eyes when that happened and refrain from asking too many questions.
Shall
I continue for a bit? Another paragraph? And so Corley and Anoush lived a very ordinary life, filled with very ordinary expectations, or so it seemed, until one day in early March, a thud was heard in the attic. It was Corley who heard it first, a single loud thud, followed by silence. He never thought to mention it to Anoushka, believing to be a bird that got trapped under the rafters. He ignored it a second time later that day, and the third time as well. So when Anoushka finally heard it, it frightened her so that, quite unaware, she crossed herself twice like an old woman. Boje moi, she exclaimed, rushing into the landing where she craned her neck and peered the trapdoor, the one that no one ever used. After a few minutes of total silence, she returned to her room and got on with her chores. Later that night, Anoushka rarely dreamed, so one that disturbed her very deeply. Everything was frozen, even the people she came across were glazed like icicles. The snow must have fallen suddenly in the midst of spring, because daffodil-shaped flowers with their distinctive droopy blooms were frozen into translucent bells. They rose stiffly through the snow in little clumps of fours and sixes. She bent down to examine one and saw the crystalline petals tremble as if they were little fingers reaching for her face. She woke up with a gasp. Corley lay fast asleep beside her, his breath rising and falling in that familiar little snort of his, which finally reassured her that sleep, once gone, refused to return. So leave it there.
Excellent. Really good. Can't wait till it comes out soon.
Yeah.
Looking forward to reading that. Patricia Walsh, you're down again. No, where am I? Hang on, I've got to be mad. Max Creedon, there we are. Oh, that remained great now.
I'll tell you what, though, I'm on a theme tonight, and I'm usually light-hearted. But this one is the poem you'll hear at every wedding function funeral lately, Scaffolding, which is a beautiful poem. But after, I suppose, the last time I went to the last wedding, and I said, "Jeez, the one with the wall and the scaffolding," again, it's been a big metaphor for love. And this is a quotas poem. On behalf of the women in Casualty and the women in Coonley that I looked after over here. So, bear with me. I'll show you, but I'll show you the awful picture I drew of the scaffolding with the poor old heart in the middle. So there was strike one. Strike two was the song. My heart is battered and propped up, patched together with band-aids and fixed up. How I ache to be safe in a scented bower, not of thorny roses, but of soft orange blossom flowers. They bring it up. Team builders and bridesmaids in particular, moved and inspired by predictable words. Special delivery and hackneyed beasts of burden. Build a wall, they say. Build a wall, the stuff of dreams. Many of the navvy would be mystified as they brave the elements of their scaffolding means. Binary walls built between two, make the two sides out of the one. Cut divisions, make exclusions, a male preserved for obvious reasons. The sexist asked her to build a wall, as she dived through the golden pages she made a call. It's frigid, the scaffolding is disjointed with angularity. You speak a language of creaks and squawks, you wolf whistle, we shout the bit of vulgarity. What about the ones encased and entrapped, the hearts that are true that never knew tender? What about those that never caught plenty more fish in the sea, the heart that's true, covered in band-aids, shivering on the ground and shriveling away from the ugly suns? Break down, peeling in parchment, wrapped in half-assed scaffolding. The heart that's true that knew the boot, that couldn't rise without being propped up with white coats, enwrapped with lethal hazard, protective tight arms, inarticulate bonds shield her from all. Preliminary clips for the countless. And so after all that you build a solid becking wall. When you should sing of first love, you should build a garden with soft edges and coloured borders. Bowers, weight heavy, scented flowers, to mind your own walls, empty brick cavities, packed tight with grey old sloppy mortar. Make a place that shines, worth sharing minds. That's where I meet you, and inhale the scent of seeing you.
in a soft wall of old warm fusion. That's it.
Next up we have, hang on, now I'm trying to read that. Cal, I actually have no idea what this is. G A H I L E?
Gabriella.
I'm sorry, Gabriella. Gabriella, come on up. It's okay, you can hit me or something, I don't know.
Gabriella.
So, today, as usual, first in Portuguese, later in English. It's called Magnolia, and it's a short metaphor of a depiction of what love is. Uma vizinha cantante, rasgando os céus certo dia, perdeu-se de amor errante, pela flor com espelho refletia. Dormia num piano velho, a magnólia adormecida, mas só no reflexo de espelho a ave via a flor escondida. Certa noite, num lamento, a voz já desesperada, roubou o espelho cinzento, esperando ver a flor amada, viu o seu rosto. E a flor, de tule e sombra rosada, em gotas de orvalho e amor, brotando dos olhos, mais nada. A singing little bird, ripping through the skies one day, fell in wandering love with a flower reflected in a mirror. She was sleeping in an old piano, the sleepy magnolia, but just in the mirror's reflection, the bird would see the hidden flower. One night, with sorrow, the voice already desperate, the bird stole the grey mirror, and hoping to see the loving flower, just saw its face. And the flower, made of tulle and rosy shadow, in drops of dew and love, sprouting from its eyes, and nothing else. Thank you.
I will memorize your script so I know your name from next time. My apologies. Kevin Walsh, please.
And this is the course. Tristan, in this horrid form, I count the barren days. Forsaken, I scratch and claw the scented walls to shreds. Cursed, I willow and wallow for Vienne. For I've been mocked and scorned by the forms of fate. Shown no kindness by that wicked witch who left me in this state. Tortured and ghastly, and without a human friend, my vile form punches in a way that man should never bend, beseeched with never-ending shame. And yet she said, if thou finds love, thy demonic form will revert. For this, I would run straight to the depths of hell and back. But I'm clever to know that no woman or child would cut my form slack. If thou refrains from spoiled shallowness, thy heart will convert. A dare for now, my heart is nothing but an oily black. For one to teach me love, the world would burn before I could ever learn.
Guys, we got four more. I reckon we can get through it. Next up is Mick Noonan.
Mick. This is kind of simple. I wrote this about a week ago. I was cutting a tree and the birds nested over, and I suppose I'll be impity with the birds or something. The tree cut down today. Once a place for birds to live and play, it must feel strange to return and find your home toppled on the ground. A hiding place blown wide open, easy prey for hawk stalking. So think again before you chop a tree, you're stealing a little creature's front door key.
Amen.
John Blair.
This poem is called Ode to the Bully. It's about toxic people. You know, the type of people who, if you take the day you met them, you would just erase that day from history, if you could. Against me, your poisoned words were doctored, and now it's all uncomfortable and awkward. So I don't kowtow to what you expect me to be, just because you can't cope with reality. It must be left to rot and future so that others may enjoy the future. As you live life dangling from a crescent, you cannot cope with the present. Keep on this path and you will not last when your lies and schemes will be attained the past. You let your venomous thoughts meander till you spew out words of slander. You master of the lie, like the snake that murdered Eve, you set out the people to deceive. To your friends you told a great untruth, and I write this now, your words to refute. You are the poison, and I am the cure. Your malicious lies we will not endure. I will not partake of your rotten fruit, the lie that people's minds pollute. You're a capricious person, a people user, a bully, malicious, a total loser. You seek pity where you're deserving of none, and out of people's lives you suck all the fun. Treading on eggshells to protect the feeling, although your ego needs to go through some healing. So you think you're upper class, but you're talking out your arse. People of class have no need to brag. You have no right to mock or slag. People who you think are below your pecking order, you need to open your eyes beyond the border and see that your attitude is as a proud horse, as when you upset others you show no remorse. You're from the country and I'm from the city. You have problems, come by the pity. You say you don't have to take our lip. Your friends in real life, I'm sure they've dipped. Your friends on the internet, they act as types. Also, they can get more likes. They don't like you because they don't even know you, and the ones that do are probably scared of you. You live till you're old and alone and decrepit. Just remember, it was me who said it. You'll remember when you used to push people around a bit. And when you die, they'll throw you in the pit. Without a coffin, just a corpse that's dead. To be sure that it's finished, they'll saw off your head and your arms and your legs, and you'll be scattered around, and they'll burn your body when it's far in the ground.
Sometimes it's going to be so. Next up, can we have Stan Knapp, please? Stan Knapp.
I really hope that last guy likes this poem. Anyone friend of the fans in house?
No!
So you know when you write poems, you sometimes, well not sometimes, you always kind of wonder what the value of them is. Well, this poem, which most of you have heard before, is written using Bruce Springsteen song titles, and Neil Prendergast played it on Red FM last Friday. I don't think he knew what the fuck he was doing, and say he was talked into it, but a small act of rebellion. Neil Prendergast playing poetry, huh? Fucking hell. Pity no pay me for it. Anyway, it's called Songs to the Orphans after Bruce Springsteen. Growing up in the promised land, I had reason to believe from small things, big things one day come. This land of hopes and dreams said, dream, baby, dream. Magic seeds fire with every wish you wish, and high hopes fevered my American skin. In my book of dreams, I would be the one born to run across the border to the King's Highway. The chosen, unsatisfied heart to find all that heaven will allow, to bring the rising of one love to American land. Now my book of dreams and glory days are worlds apart. Phantoms of the souls of departed dreams block out the light of day. I'm a dead man walking a slow fade on the edge of the world, and I wish I was blind to life itself. And life itself, out of work, 57 channels and nothing on, and all that I'm thinking about is the ballad of a self-loathing pistol. Boom, boom, boom. Out on the street, another shackled and drawn nowhere man fades away under empty skies, counting on a miracle, a big paycheck from an easy money factory. He's one step up from the innocent brothers under the bridge whose high hopes are gone, gone, gone. Further on up the road, a mansion on the hill is living proof that it's all or nothing at all. There's the man at the top, the local hero, and the world of the prodigal son. You can look, but you better not touch. I'm looking out for number one. Determination is the price you pay for better days. Surprise, surprise, this life, this land has two hearts, two faces. The broken-hearted and the promised paradise. A roll of the dice, your fortunate son, a roll of the dice, you're out on the street. A roll of the dice, you're a lucky man in a lucky town. A roll of the dice, you're missing, and no one knows. A roll of the dice, that's what you get in the promised land. So I turn, turn, turn. Because deep down in the vaults, a soul driver with eyes on the prize is always working on a dream. Yes, deep down in the vaults, chimes of freedom lift me up, point the way to paradise. Say, come on, son, get up, raise your hand. This land is your land, and I stand by you always.
Ben and I recently turned that into a bit of a poetry film, music and visuals and all that fancy stuff, so you can see that online on your Facebook. To close out the night, guys, can we have Micheál Weber and Kieran McCartan?
So I'm just going to say a poem. As a thank you from Strive Theatre to Avail for all the support this community has given us. We just opened the show in Camara last night. We're going to close the Stone Writers Week on Sunday. If anybody's going down to the festival, we but before that, we are going to play a tune.
Let's forget about words for a while. You can unfasten your seatbelts now.
that isn't what they told us to believe. For what means it to do well when we expect so much less of ourselves? Beauty in your wisdom, like the beauty in a prison, needs a light to shine. And none brighter than yours, so divine. When sullen silence aches at your pride, listen to that calling deep inside. For without that strive, I'll be even alive.